This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and you're listening to Bears Hour Live, which is intended for all audiences.
Trubisky, being rushed, throws to the end zone for Deion Sims. He's got it for a touchdown.
Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy.
Coming hard every Monday night, Central 10 East. Spilling out prescriptions for the Bears fan with a Bear disease. Jumping in the chat room with the bar fries bringing knowledge. This show's an honors course if Bears football was a college. This girl's a moderator, Dr. Phil is the host. Throwing dimes through the window from the open to the post. Talking live on the air, best known for my devotion. First name Phil, my last Atoshin. Ask for Phil on Twitter, bringing truth, hold in touch. I'm running foreign country, singing Oh Canada. BHL, floor on top, like saliva does backwash. I take this back to high school to take a football back course.
Guests on the show,
seek the serum of the truth.
365, Bears talk in the bar.
Analyzing every one of Mitchell 7-7. Drop. No doubt, how is the leak? Cause we never flip-flop.
Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk.
We'll be to the open field.
Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk. With Bears girl and this draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live.
I can coach high school football. It's always been in our family, in our blood, and he played it. He tells me how good he was back in the day as a three tech on the D-line, and I didn't go the defensive path. I went the offensive side, but it's always been a part of us. We're always watching games together and just enjoying talking football and talking life, and so it's been really good for us, and it's amazing how fast it goes.
Hello, Bears fans. Did you miss us? We are back this week, and you are listening to Bears Hour Live with Draft Dr. Phil. You just heard Bears head coach Matt Nagy talking about his father, Bill. Thanks to ChicagoBears.com for that audio. I hope you all had a very happy Father's Day weekend. We have a special guest with us tonight, Ryan Heckman from at the Windy City blog and co-host of at Dad Ball podcast. We're going to cover thoughts on the orange Bears jerseys that were revealed last Friday, the Madden rankings that have come out, the polls on favorite Bears to wear all 99 numbers that the doc has been running daily, and of course, answer our barfly questions they've submitted on Twitter with the hashtag AskBHL. Let's start the show like we do every week, Phil, with your opening rant. Before I do, I hope you and your family had a great Father's Day, and let us know if you were spoiled.
It was a tremendous weekend, and for the first time ever, my daughters went out and bought me their own gift, which was a gift card. So, it was very touching, and money and emotion and all of that combined. It was a weekend to remember because I got to spend it with my parents, my sister and her kids, and my sons and my daughters, and we ended up having a whole weekend. But it seems like to me on Father's Day, it's like fathers are still doing everything. So I'm cooking, I'm cleaning the pool, and a freaking backwash hose blew up in my face. It was a weekend of fun and laughs. But, you know, my wife sent me this perfect meme, whatever we call these things. It was the guy from Parks and Recs, you know, the head guy. And he says, wait a second, you know, on Mother's Day, all the restaurants are fucking full. On Father's Day, all the dads are out barbecuing on the grill. And that's exactly what I live. So it was, part of my language, we have to beep that out, but it was the meme. But that's what it was, BG, and it was quite the emotional time just because of what I wanted to rant about. And it really boils back into football and fathers. You know, if you are listening in this on this show and into this on the podcast version, and you're new listener or a full-time barfly, you've got your medals and credentials getting ready to be in the barfly gang. You understand what this game means to me. And you know the passion that I bring and the humor and all of that. For a second, I'm going to put aside, because there's an emotional aspect to this game of football that if you've never been fortunate enough to play it, then I know many a kid that I wanted to coach that ended up playing a different sport have all, and I mean everyone, it's almost 99.9%, have came up to me at some point in their now adulthood to say their biggest regret was not playing this great game. And I bring that up because there's so many lessons. And on top of Matt Nagy, it's funny because I didn't get to hear that audio until now, that I got to sit with my football coach, my dad, and go over this game in through his eyes and the lessons that a father hands down to his son or daughter. And football is that bridge that no matter what political stance you have, a religious take, you know, football bridges all races, cultures, and backgrounds. When you have a passion for it and your willingness and love to learn this game, you know, you could be a woman in Mexico or a guy up in Scotland and learn this game and understand every aspect of it. But I want to take you one step behind the curtain, that camaraderie that goes on in the locker room, that camaraderie that you have with your coaching staff and your teammates can never be put into monetarily what that gain is or any measuring device. It's so important. You'll hear guys that have retired and said the thing they miss the most is being around the guys. Not the game, but it is such a sport. If you're wondering or teeter-tottering whether or not you should have your son or daughter even play this game, I would say you're missing the boat. You know, all of the concussions, all of that hype is just what it is. We've been playing it for centuries, this game. It's the greatest game in the world. It's the most popular sport in the country that depends on sport as entertainment the most. And there's a reason why. And it's only getting bigger. When I look at where I've grown up in this game, being around my father, being around a coach and coaching and playing this game, I just can't say I would be the man I am today without it. And on Father's Day, and knowing my dad listens to these podcasts and now is becoming a second Bears fan, you know, he loved the Giants as a kid. Now he's in New England country, really cheers for coaches. But now he just really feels like there's a switch that has changed in Chicago. And he's not afraid to tell me about it for the first time since I was maybe with Dick as a kid. That he feels like something special is going to happen for the Bears. And it's just funny. And it's great time to be a son, be a father in that, you know, old man Gandhi over there has had to live through many a losing season with his family. And it's not fun. And a lot of Bear fans are raising their kids and they don't want to cheer for the Bears. For me, I'm teaching my sons the right way, orange, blue, and white, 100%. So I just wanted to get that out. Fathers and football and the tradition and just moving into this 2018, to me, I think there are great things to come. Even despite the losing, there has been tremendous things to learn from this franchise. And I'm a proud part of it and a proud member of Bears Barroom. And I wanted to wish every father out there that listens to the show, that goes and gets up late at night and works that third shift, or gets up early in the morning when the baby wakes up, or is a single dad busting his hump to take care of his kid that's not getting the pats on the back, that doesn't under... I was a single dad. I know what that's like. You know, there's so many dark moments that you have to get through. And those lessons that you learn in life help you hurdle them. And all of you out there that have taken the time out to retweet or say something real positive about my daughters graduating and Father's Day, there was a lot of love out there and positivity in such a negative time. So I want to thank you all for that. It was tremendous to celebrate dads, and I think it's deserving.
So I know that most of our Barflies had a fantastic Father's Day weekend, and I appreciate that you probably worked as hard that Sunday as you do every other Sunday, and it sounds like you had a great time with your girls, which was nice to see.
Hello.
He got to turn off his speaker system.
Ryan, turn off your computer and welcome to Bears Hour Live. Take it away, Bears girl.
Where anything happens and everything happens. So I'm clearly a Stepford wife. I've been, you know, repeating myself a couple of times. I'll get those batteries changed by 100 proof when we record on Wednesday night. So thanks for joining us, Ryan. For those of us just tuning in, we've got a special guest with us tonight, Ryan Heckman, over at the Windy City blog and co-host of At Dad Ball Podcast. So what I want to get you guys to do is talk about our love-hate relationship with the Bears media, because Ryan is in sports media and a writer over at the Windy City blog. So Ryan, thanks for joining us. Phil, let's talk about the Chicago media and how they portray the Bears.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this tonight. I also want to have Ryan on, so I appreciate you coming on, Ryan. We're going to start out in the batting cages throwing some heat here, because to me, here's a situation where the Chicago media countlessly has set a course of, I would say, tentative or praise at best. They can never step and choose a side. To me, it's without a doubt, you put your stamp on it, you put your name to it, you report the truth. That's your goal. It seems like everything is such a negative clicking, let's make a headline that reeks of crappiness to get people talking, instead of actually recognizing how much of a 180 this football team has done in one offseason. I mean, the foundation was put in place, so to speak, with getting Mitchell Trubisky. But what they've been able to do this offseason, as far as the coaching is concerned alone, as well as the personnel, to me, Ryan, it's disgusting to listen to the media be on one side of things. And it's disappointing at the same time, because they can't say, yeah, I'm excited about this, let's see what happens. It's like, unfortunate. It's got to be, well, we're going to wait and see and take that pessimistic approach. So what are your feelings on that? And do you feel the same thing is going on?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you, all of you guys, for having me on. I really appreciate that. Great to be with you guys. As to your question, you know, it's kind of crazy because, I mean, really, as a Bears fan, I haven't heard a whole lot of good from any media about the team in a while. But just the odd thing to me is that finally now the national media, at least some parts of it, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts. You guys are, of course, at the top of the list. And there's so many guys out there with you know, the national media with CBS Sports or Fox Sports, or even, you know, with NFL Network that are nonstop praising the Bears. They can't get enough of the Bears. You know, you've probably flipped on NFL Network or listened to a podcast once this offseason and heard the comparison to, you know, the Los Angeles Rams of last year. Like, the Bears are kind of the darlings of this year, like the Rams might have been last year. But with all of the national media kind of on the hype train right now, it's kind of weird. Like, where's the Chicago media on the hype train?
Exactly.
Everybody else is on, but it seems like, to your point, that I guess maybe Chicago media is so used to taking the negative approach and putting the negative spin on things. Maybe that's just what they're accustomed to doing. I don't know. I can't help but think of the best example for me is Nick Friedel with the Bulls. You know, I mean, you're already laughing. Yeah. I got blocked from him on Twitter so long ago. But still somehow I see, you know, his quotes and his articles and stuff, you know, pop up here and there. And at one point, I swear to you, he was, you know, LeBron's agent or something, you know, back when LeBron was with the Heat. It was disgusting. Like you said, disgusting. You know, I don't understand Chicago media sometimes, or why they take such a negative approach, or what it seemed, you know, at times like they're almost against our local teams. You know, right. For me, I will tell you, starting in this industry a few years back, just kind of getting my feet wet, you know, you're taught by some people that, and I know, Phil, this is a hot button for you, so I don't want to try to get you started, but you're taught at times, you're taught at times that, you know, you got to do anything to get a click. And some of those headlines out there with just such a nasty, negative approach to our teams, they're just uncalled for. And there's, even today, there's some outlets out there that I don't know how they get so big. Maybe it's just that people are, you know, sheep and they like to follow them, but there's certain outlets out there. And I don't like to bash anybody. I feel like, you know, everybody in this industry is putting in the work. Kudos, whether you take the right approach or the wrong approach, but there's a couple outlets out there that, you know, they just go after clicks, and it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's disappointing because you're in a society that's negative enough. And
right.
I think it, you know, people could say whatever they want. You either love me or hate me. I really, at the end of the day, know when I look in the mirror or I rest my head on the pillow that I'm telling you truthfully what I would tell my son or a football player that I'm coaching. That's how I run this course of this show. So I'm telling fans, like, I'm not a smoke blower, and I'm not going to kiss anyone's ass. I am going to tell you the truth, and I'm going to praise when it needs to be praised. And there are people that need to be praised and celebrated for the hard work and effort they put into their tape study or their stories or their research, because not everybody knows the game. But that doesn't mean they can't report on it. It's when you take a negative stance unknown to you. Like, for example, the stances and the hot button issues between PFF and the Chicago media in regards to Adrian Amos. If they're not a direct reflection of what Jordan Howard is having to go through in the Chicago media, then I don't know how to make this more clear to people. Tape doesn't lie. I said keep it 100. ESPN's taking it. Everyone's doing it. Whatever. I'm going to keep it 100. That's our cue here. And I'm telling you, Jordan Howard is special. He doesn't get it. I'm telling you, Adrian Amos is special. It's on the tape. So the tape doesn't lie to me. So I'm going to tell you that. I'm not going to be a pessimist and overlook the fact Jordan Howard was a fifth-round pick who Jeremy Langford started 4 games before he even got a shot. And he was the best running back he was, what is he, the rookie rushing leader and a Pro Bowler. Don't understand the negativity around that football player, so I put it to film, music, quotes. I'm going to do everything to get the message of negativity out. And that's what we want to do here. And tonight I wanted to have that a part of our opening rant. As someone you directly deal with a group of guys writing, just like Aldo and what we're trying to do here, but I think there's bylaws of you got to know what the heck you're saying and believe in it, not sell yourself out to get a click. To me, you might not want to say it, but to me, there's too many sheep to follow this of negativity that they just believe it. And unfortunately, they get misled and then openly jump on the bandwagon later. And there's so many points to that on this show that we said that came to fruition. Myself and Shane Marsaw, as well as Aldo, and before them, you know, Lauren Cox was. There's so many points. So I know we've talked for years now. I think you're one of the first people that followed me on Twitter, to be perfectly honest, to get you on the show and be a part of this. You know, it was a long time coming. I apologize. We scheduled, we had to reschedule. We had Adam Rank coming on from NFL Network. He's a realist. He's a truth slayer, as he would say. So I think, you know, it's great to have you on. You know, and really tackle these hardcore issues that the educated barfly, the Bears barroom listener, is a truther. They see all, and they see through it, and they're not afraid to speak up. That's what makes this so great, and to have you on here and to promote your site with a great group of guys that I've interacted, you know, Dustin, Rigg, and Padilla. I think Aldo was trying to steal them off waivers at some point. So you got good stuff over there. I'm glad we're tackling it. It's the dead of the off season. So, and you have a lot going on in your personal life. I just wanted to say this before we even started. Here's a guy, Barflies, coming on the podcast and in the live show, heading into a child to have surgery. Now, when my daughter was 10 weeks old, she had open heart surgery. And I can't even imagine and remember how anxiety filled. So for you to, if you don't know, Ryan's daughter is going in for some sort of kidney surgery tomorrow. And for you to come on, I honestly can't give you enough praise as a father on Father's Day weekend and week. Let's keep it 100 and give us 3 days, for God's sake. Fathers deserve a whole 3-day weekend, Ryan, and you deserve it. So God bless you and the daughter. I want to say that before we really delve into the Bears. So thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you, Phil. I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I know we've been trying to make this work for a little while, so I'm glad to be a part of it. We've got some family in town too that just helped put the kids down, so that I could do this with you guys. So I'm more than happy to be here.
You guys have some very loyal listeners in the chat room. Ryan, you mentioned that you were blocked. That means that you are in the right spot at Bears Barroom Radio Network. Officially one of the crew. We all have been blocked by someone at some point in time and will probably continue to be blocked in the future. So on the topic of Bears media, we did have some barflies chatting up in the chat room. Bobby's in the house and he says the national narrative is the same. Everyone doubting the Bears. And Michael Gee is in the house and he says, let them sleep.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only route we have right now. Because as the smartest man loves to say, winning is the cure-all. And he's right. It only is going to happen. And it's unfortunate because it's like the negative clickers, Ryan. Those Mully and Hanley are famous for. I mean, it's hard to even listen to their show. And I respect them. Like, I want to listen to the show, but I'm being 100. It's like they've already decided. they've already made up their mind.
That's the best way to describe it, man. You want to listen, you want to support them, but you're like, oh man, I can't do that. I just can't.
It really is like that. So for the Bears fan that lives in that city, now, you know, we can stream these shows all over the world. Unfortunately, Canada can't. Or fortunately, Canada can't get 670 over there. So BG kind of blocks out. She's blocked by the country. I don't know the state lines.
The Canadian radio and television congregate. They block all kinds of shit up here. I can't even get some YouTube channels.
It's amazing to me how they even do it. But again, I'm not the most technical savvy, as Shane will tell you. But that being said, it's like Bears. It's the biggest thing in Chicago. No matter what Danny Parkins is trying to sell you, the number one story will always be Bears. It could be Kyle Long's new car. That's going to be the lead story over baseball and what have you. Just look at the numbers of the draft, Ryan, versus the NBA playoff numbers. The NFL draft just destroys them. It's not even close. Oh, yeah. And they're just calling off names and what have you. It is the biggest thing, and it's the biggest thing in Chicago, no matter what anyone says. So it should always be the lead, and it should, especially with a new young head coach. And we haven't gotten to talk about him, Ryan, with you. There's a different sense about the whole thing. So,
right. Yeah, it boggles my mind that the local media still, even within the team, having such a culture shift. And Phil, I know that you're a big believer in this. I mean, you and Shane want to talk about press conferences matter versus they don't matter, whatever. But listening to Matt Nagy speak, I mean, the very first time I heard him speak at his introductory press conference blew me away. And the fact that Chicago media still can't get excited now this far into it, it blows my mind, because this guy is different and he is bringing a completely different culture. Everybody's buying in. And like I said, the national media is even excited. So let's figure this out, local media.
So you probably don't know this because you're not in the chat room, Phil, but Dustin Reagan Padilla is in the house tonight.
Look at him supporting his boss.
Absolutely.
let me get the Mel Kiper in. He's supporting his boss. I mean, he's 6'1", 230 pounds. He loves to roll with his asterisks and exclamations. He loves a lock and for a tweet.
Oh, gosh. Ryan, you have the chat room talking and comparing who they've been blocked by. Seems like a lot of the same people. And you're also receiving a ton of prayers for your little girl from our barflies in the chat room tonight.
Oh, thank you, guys.
So I want to talk about something that happened on Friday. I was excited when they announced that the Bears would be bringing back the famous orange jerseys. And as most of you know, I've already purchased my number 10 in orange. And the Bears Twitter account actually replied to my desperation in searching for them as soon as I woke up on Friday. Before we get your opinions on them, because I know that they're going to be differing opinions on orange jerseys versus throwback jerseys, here's what George McCaskey had to say in an article by Patrick Finley over at the Chicago Sun-Times. Quote, "The orange jersey is actually a callback to the past as well. That's the one thing I love about it," McCaskey said. "It's a modern-day style font. It has the GSH monogram, but it's also reminiscent of a time that we were dominant. The Bears were asked to wear an orange jersey, orange pants, and orange socks for the NFL's now-defunct Color Rush games, but quickly declined. We just decided that that was too much," said McCaskey. So what do you guys think about what he had to say, and what do you think about bringing back the orange?
Go ahead, Ryan.
Man, I'm so excited about the orange. Like, that's... It's been too long. It's been too long. I mean, I immediately went back and tried to find all the great memories that I had growing up watching the Bears playing these orange jerseys. You know, I think of the Charles Tillman interception where, you know, he dove for it against the Browns. I mean, the Bears had already been stomping them, and he returned that for a touchdown. Another Tillman interception against the Lions, too, where he returned that for a touchdown. I love the orange jerseys, and I have so many great memories. I know there are fans out there that think they are just ugly and they hate them, but, man, I got to tell you, the first orange jersey I ever bought, I'm not old, but I'm not that young. But the first orange jersey that I ever bought was a Kyle Orton, and that's a totally different conversation. But I wish I would have kept. I wish I would have kept a lot of old jerseys. But I was a young dumb kid that got rid of jerseys when players got traded and whatnot. Which, again, different conversation. But man, those orange jerseys they're definitely my favorite. By far, that the Bears have, even over the 1940s. I don't know. There's just something about them. I love them. I'm happy they're back.
Well, I gotta disagree. I do. I like.
What a surprise!
I like the orange. I do. I own an orange that I'm going to raffle off to Barflies. An authentic Jay Cutler orange jersey. So you might want to get in on that, Heckman.
Are we about to have a Jay Cutler debate here?
No.
We'd go 12 hours instead of just 1 hour.
Oh, that'd be bad.
Oh, I've moved off anyway, you get where I'm going. For me, the 1940 throwback jersey is the most beautiful jersey in the NFL. And I'm not hyping that up. I just will look at that. I've sat around Patriot. I'm in New England Patriot country, Giant country, Jet country, like diehards here that are my friends that will constantly get after me. And there's one thing they all do, and they agree with, yo, that 1940 throwback, that is hot. And it's constant. And it's not just them and their opinion that matter to me. It's what I felt, too. There's something about that uniform that's so sharp and sleek, even without the C on the helmet, because I'm a big just put the C. We had this debate before. But that jersey, oh, I can't say enough. It's like I said on Twitter, it's like by 1,000 yards away from me. The 1940, I get hyped up more so than ever when they're playing in those jerseys, and it's just a beautiful thing. Now, I completely understand about the orange and the throwback. I'm sorry, Akeem. I just believe in the 1940 throwback jersey, and that's how I roll with it. But it's cool that they're still going to at least give us one game with the blue. That was a smart move on their part. I will say that.
Oh, yeah.
You give one of those, you're going to do two orange. I guess the game I'm going to is going to be, they're going to be wearing the orange. I'm a little disappointed. I was hoping the 1940 was going to be at that game, but it'll still be historic Giants-Bears, so. I know we're going to get a Barfly gathering there. I'm going to go live and do some things and some special surprises coming that weekend. So I'm fired up about it. But, yeah, for me, Ryan, I'm going 1940s.
And there's nothing wrong with those. There's nothing wrong with those. I love those, too. I have a couple of them. So I'm right there with you, man.
I just quickly pulled the Barflies in the chat room, and I'm sorry, Phil. Majority in the chat room prefer the orange jerseys versus the throwbacks, but you do have folks who love them both. In terms of where people are leading with their memories of the orange jerseys, we've got someone saying they had a Rex Grossman jersey. Where did that just go? Hold on. Just missed that. Where did it go? Crap.
I had one of those too, man. I'm right there. I'm kind of hanging my head with you, whoever you are.
whoever it was, I don't know where the tweet just went, so send it to me again. I think it was Dan, the Bears fan Dan. Yes, it was. It was Bears fan Dan with Rex Grossman as his
Bears
first
fan
orange
Dan.
Jersey.
Of course it should have been. I had Eric Kramer in the starter blue. I'm sorry. I was trying to think of my oldest jersey that I could. I think my first was a Walter Payton. I think I told that story with Adam Rank. My mom went to the starter outlet, which is in New Haven, Connecticut. They used to make all the jerseys back then, and she, for my third grade, I got A on my, I won the spelling bee on the word excellent in our class, not in the whole grade, but in our class. My mom surprised me with a Walter Payton jersey in third grade. So I still have the white one she gave me. But like Ryan said, I have both white and blue, and I traded my blue Payton starter from 19 when I was in high school. Yeah, when I was in high school.
Damn.
Yeah, because I had the white one, so I was like, but I look back, I can kick myself for that. But that's my first jersey, but I had a John Theory jersey, Eric Kramer, Bobby Engram, who won our poll today, BG. Bobby Engram, number 81. I had a Bobby Engram jersey, a Curtis Conway. I used to always try to get a jersey.
Well, I got some good news for you from Bears fan Dan. He says the Bears aren't wearing orange at the Giants game. They'll be wearing orange at the Dolphins and Vikings game.
Oh, good. Good news. This kid, this guy from West Virginia. Breaking news.
All right, let's move off of the jerseys and let's talk about the Madden rankings that came out tonight. So I got to admit, I don't play video games. The last time I saw Madden being played was about 10 years ago. Madden 19 is scheduled for release on August 10th. Adrian Amos leads the way with an 88 rating, followed by Akeem Hicks at 85 and Allen Robinson also at 85. Chicago's offense received a 75 overall rating, which should result in some significant challenges for some Bears fans trying to score points later this summer. Ryan, I know you used to play Madden, so what do you make of this, and should Bears fans give it any thought?
Yeah, I did used to play Madden. I have friends now that I talk to all the time, and they want to talk about video games, and I'm clueless, man. I don't know what free time is anymore. For real. But, yeah, I saw that Amos, you know, had an 88, which, all right, cool, you know, whatever. But I'm trying to find it right now as we speak. I'm not really sure where they're at. But I do want to jump right in and see where Jordan Howard was at, because I can't find that for some reason. But
I'm reading my mind because I was going to ask.
I did see, though, that Derrick Henry had a higher rating than Howard. I'm not sure what the numbers were, if somebody knows. But Derrick Henry, a guy who hasn't even been a full-time starter, has, what, I mean, over 1,000 yards less than Howard has in his career. And, I mean, no one's even sure if he's a true workhorse. Does he only show up in the fourth quarter? I don't know. That's a great debate, whatever. But the fact that a guy like Derrick Henry has a higher rating than Jordan Howard, I mean, goodness gracious. No one respects the kid.
It seems to be a running theme with Jordan Howard, and it's going to lead into this week's 100 proof, because I am going to go toe-to-toe with the bald man from Baldwin. Where is he from? Chicago. Former. I got some news for him. The Cap Man's going to be coming on this week's 100 Proof. I'm going to go toe-to-toe with him about our boy Jordan Howard, Ryan. And
I can't wait for that.
He doesn't think he's elite, but, you know, tape doesn't lie, and I'm going to keep it 100. But to stay on the Madden rankings, BG, I remember Madden coming out, Ryan – and I literally went out and bought the Sega Genesis. I don't know why I'm echoing like that, but...
Are you a stepbird too? Good
to know. I don't know what that was, but... That game, to me, the original Madden, I could see it playing. The ambulance comes on the field and knocks guys down as it's trying to pull out there. It was just so much fun. And then I continued to buy it all through every time it came out and all through college. I was a Madden champion in college 3 years or 4 years, and I just always bought it. Then in the last few years, I bought... Later on, the Tom Brady one, is that the last one that came out? I think I just tried it like twice. I don't, like you, it's hard to find free time. But for me, these rankings have always bothered me. It's like, I play with the Bears, that's it. I'm just loyal. Like, I don't care. And I won. And it didn't matter who was playing. I just try to continue to always play with the Bears. These rankings to me are so subjective and manipulative and almost like the negative clicking to try to spark something. You know, Tom Brady's not a 99, but Aaron Rodgers is. That's going to cause a debate. That's going to make things. Aaron Rodgers has won Super Bowl. Tom has, what, six, five, whatever he has, right? Five Super Bowls. So all I know is that a lot of these rankings, I mean, Matt Miller, for God's sake, was ranking players. And you all know how I feel about him. He didn't understand why Akeem Hicks was getting an extension at the time. That's all you need to know. So if they can't grasp how to separate bias, then you have the wrong people doing it. If you were going to truly rank it, you would get coaches and scouts doing these things and incorporating whatever, the PFF, one of these, you know, next generation statistical, you know, sites to help accumulate a correct or appropriate grading score for these players. To me, you know, it came on the wire today that Amos is the number one ranked player. I immediately just went to my top 10 list and Jordan Howard's number one without a doubt. I want to know where he's listed. And it's ridiculous. And then, you know, Amos is definitely deserving up there, but Akeem Hicks is right there, number two, and Whitehair and Amos, they're all in there. So to me, they're going to change. I guess they update weekly. I think Bobby Phelan, Barfly Bobby, dropping bombs, let me know that they update these rosters now weekly to go to the game. But, you know, they're getting the process starting and frustrating us. And once again, how do the Bears handle this? Do they put it on the bulletin board for Akeem Hicks to continue what he already feels has been, you know, a slighted season last year and a career so far? It'll be interesting to see it, but to me, it's again a ploy for clicks.
Now, can you go in and edit the ratings? That's what I want to know, because when my friends came over as a kid, little did they know when I picked the Bears, Marty Booker would beat anybody down the field, and they were left wondering why. And I just kind of look at him like, I don't know. He's really good. Marty Booker just smoked you. And then, you know, I'd pitch it to Anthony Thomas, and he would beat out everybody on the field, down the field for an 80-yard touchdown. And, you know, they're left wondering, why is your game different? And, you know, they quickly figured it out. I went in and, you know, Anthony Thomas, speed 99. Marty Booker, speed 99, you know. But that's how I dealt with disrespectful ratings, even when the Bears sunk.
The
Bears are good. Yeah.
So Dustin Padilla in the chat is letting us know that, yes, you can edit the ratings. And we've got Barflies giving off their gamer handles. And it looks like we've got some matches that are going to be coming up.
I might have to purchase this. just to hammer a few smart talk and bar fly and just have a fun bar fly only league. Like, Aldo's always looking for these outlets. Well, here's a chance to try to beat Draft Dr. Phil, former four-time Madden champ. You got to try to step. I just need a week of practice with the new controller and system. And then I will take them on. And then
I don't think you're going to get any slack from these guys. They are already talking crap in the chat.
So there you go. Then we'll do that. It's just another showcase to reach out into Bears Barroom and do some fun stuff.
All right. So, Phil, let's talk about the polls that you've been running. You've been running a daily poll counting down the days till the Bears are back on the gridiron. And I believe we are now at number 81. So why don't you give us a recap of who our Barflies and Bears fans have selected as their favorite Bear to wear each number. And let us know if there was any tight races or any surprise choices.
Well, there was some real tight races. You know, it's been very fun, and the response has been tremendous. I don't know why people like to just privately respond to me, but it's like, it's okay to say it out there because I want more people to see it and be a part of it. And also the players getting involved in it, the former, you know, players, the alumni, as well as now players. You know, Akeem Hicks getting involved, and Adwale Ogunleye, Tommy Harris getting involved. It's fun. It's a look at the history, and it's, you know what, it's interesting about it, Ryan and BG? When you got to some of these numbers and you really realize, wow, you know, there's been a real, you know, like number 84 was a tough one because they're really a Ron Morris, and I forget the other guy, Bashnagel. It was a real tight race because of the talent there. And then you have a lot of the historians, you know, the wily veteran Barflies getting fired up because even today, like 81, Bobby Engram ended up taking it in a close race. But, you know, Doug Atkins, had he played in a different time period, would be looked at and viewed differently. So I understand the frustration. People are pointing fingers at millennials, Ryan, but you know, it's been fun. There's been only, I would say, like, today I think Doug Atkins should have won if I was true. And I'm a Bobby Engram, like 100. I bought his jersey, as I said. But you know, pretty much the winning numbers have been who I would expect them to win. Like Desmond Clark and Marcus Robinson, I would have voted for Marcus Robinson in that case.
No, that's what I was going to say, yep. Yep.
Yeah, I really thought Marcus could have been special. And, you know, that was one case where I was like, I would have voted the other way. Tommy Waddle. Marty Booker and Zach Miller. Yeah. To me,
and I think that's tough, man, because Zach Miller's been the story of the offseason. So it's like, exactly. You almost feel bad not voting for him.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh, I can't vote against this guy.
Exactly. So he was almost getting a sympathy vote, but to me, ultimately, I would have voted for Marty Booker in that case. Again, yeah. I didn't vote. Yeah. BG can testify. I didn't vote. I tried to vote for which swag today, and I pressed orange by an accident.
That was not an accident. Admit you love the orange.
Total,
it goes with your orange pants.
So, but obviously, you know, Mike Ditka and was an easy winner. Willie Gault, easy winner. These players, like, Dennis McKinnon, that was kind of a close race between him and Earl Bennett, even though Earl wore 80 as well. There was a technical. I put them in both. So it's been really fun to look at these because shout out to Wanda Weedman, a writer on the show, she said it out loud instead of DMing me, guys. It's okay to be like, yeah, I really like this. I like, and vote. Go out there and vote. You don't like the thing? Let your family and people know and get these votes in and get the right guy in. But for the most part, I really think the right guys have won. And it's been a very interesting exercise in Bears history, as well as these numbers, these historic numbers that are attached to these players. You know, Mike North is getting fired up because some of his old-timers, like Eddie Obradovich, didn't beat out Tommy Waddle. So it's been fun to hear people go back and forth and see the history here. And ultimately, just keeping it fun until the games begin. So I don't know if there was a Bobby Wade, to me, I didn't want him to win. I would have taken Ron Morris. That one as well. I thought Ronnie Morris was working in an offense that really didn't utilize him as well. We kind of know that story in this town. So hopefully these numbers now get, you know, hyped up to where they're actually used appropriately, like a number 12. And I'm interested in number 11 again, BG. I'm interested in this guy. I'm getting DMs from people in the league saying, hey, Kevin White, not just hype, he's looking good. So I'm going to be interested. As I've said all offseason, he's going to be the guy I'm watching. I want to see what kind of character he has.
Oh, man, I can't even read or listen to any reports on Kevin White right now because I'll get too invested, man. I just got to sit back and wait to see it on the field, man. Seriously, I don't know. I was gonna say too about the jersey numbers. The one that I really liked that I kind of had a hard time with was 92 because I've got a really soft spot in my heart for Hunter Hillenmeyer, kind of the forgotten guy of those really really good defenses. And man, he just did his job. So I thought Hillenmeyer might have had a shot to win that. Really liked him a lot.
Yeah, what, any other ones? I liked Hunter, but Teddy Washington was... I can't believe it on tape that a guy that big... I mean, the fridge was big, but Ted Washington was like a freaking double fridge moving like that and making plays athletically that you couldn't even a belief. So to me, I thought they got it right on Ted.
Yeah. The other one was 94. As much as I like Leonard Floyd and I hope that he really plays to his potential. That was really tough. Cause I remember watching Keith Traylor and man, what a monster in the middle. But another guy that I really liked watching that I think was unsung most of the time was Brendan Iambadejo. I think, man, those special teams when they were at the top of the league, special teams wise, Iambadejo was a guy that you had to watch coming down the field every single time.
Pro bowler.
And you better know where he's at. And if you don't, you are going to get lit up. So I think he deserved a little bit more than he got, but like you were saying, I think it's interesting because it's a generational thing. So a lot of these guys you're going to see are probably telling you who your audience is mainly. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. So,
well, there isn't. And I agree with you. I was not voting for Leonard Floyd. I actually was voting for your boy, Iambadejo. I thought you would hit it out of the park there. Guys played special teams, was a pro bowler, was critical in kick return game, making some essential blocks for Devin Hester and company. And really, you're 100% right, often overlooked that kind of football player. So it's interesting to see, as you said, where the listeners are. I love the responses. When you get fired up, I love that. I love the fact that you have passion for a number and a player and the team, that is what this is about. And I think it's bringing out you know, the funny thing is, I know some of these big media companies have seen this and are seeing it, but they just can't do it. They can't respond and be like a Mike North. And that just shows what kind of town that is. It just disgusts me that you can't take the time out and give your two cents because you're too big. And I'm just keeping it 100. That I know they see it. Believe me, I know they see it. So,
and here's the thing with that too, Phil. You guys are doing something right because the Chicago media might be too big to say something to you about it or to give their two cents. But here's what proves that you guys are doing something right here at the Bears Barroom. The players, as big as they are, they're not even too big. But you've gotten how many players on episodes now to come on and hang out and talk with you guys? So,
five.
I mean, really, it's, yeah.
We got more surprises coming up.
We do.
Yeah. It's the local media, man. You guys are definitely doing something right. And if the players aren't even too big to take time out of their busy schedules to come on and not just interact via Twitter, but to come on here and give them, you know, give everybody their time. It's, yeah, you're right, man. It's just the media. That's just what it is.
So I want to move us along to our Ask BHL hashtag and the questions our lovely barflies have submitted. So here's what some of them wanted to know, gentlemen. First question comes from Michael G. And he says, best out of 10, who would win more one-on-ones between Whitehair and The Dream?
I told him, this is like trying to get me in trouble here.
I only ask the questions here, folks.
This is like a setup. Now, to me, as much, I don't know. This is really, I'm really being 100. Cody Whitehair is one of the best unknown talents on the roster. I never hear a national or anybody talking about him and how good he is. Now, I know that has a lot to do with John Fox and company rotating the guy and moving him. If you know me, Aldo could pull the audio with Nikki. I said 101 times, please keep this man at center. Beg you, on my knees when they hire a new coach, just put him at center and leave him there. Why? Because I recognize how good he's going to be, and it already is at that position. So, that being said, having Akeem Hicks, this is a guy that manhandles people. I mean, I put a film up on Father's Day, just a clip, because I'm working on stuff, and I just had to shoot this clip of him just throwing Packers guard there, Evans, like he's a rag doll. And you block this guy one-on-one, you're probably going to lose. So to me, the Great Wall of Hicks is something that not only deserved the Pro Bowl, All-Pro consideration. He should have been a first-team All-Pro defensive end, without a doubt in my mind. Show me a defensive end in the 3-4 better than him. Please, somebody show me that on tape because it's not there. He's playing on a losing football team, and it's overlooked in a popularity contest. To answer his question, I think Akeem would probably get the better of him based on what I see in one-on-ones. But listen, this is a 1A, 1B. I think Whitehair, it's going to be, you know, a battle to the extent where someone's helmet's coming flying off and they're throwing punches, because I think that's the kind of talent those two players bring to the table. Listen, they're in my top three on the whole team, the two of them.
So the next question comes from Jeremy Kramer at AirJer54. He says, if you could bring back players to play for us in his prime off your current countdown, who would it be and why? And we'll start with you, Ryan.
Okay, can you repeat the question again just so I understand?
Yeah. If you can bring one player back to play for us in his prime from the current countdown, so 99 through to 81 in terms of the numbers, who would it be and why?
Oh, hands down, Richard Dent. Hands down. Not even close. I mean, with Phil just talking about Akeem Hicks wrecking offensive lines, can you imagine Richard Dent up there with him?
It's unbelievable, to be honest. That would be something special.
My goodness. Hands down, Richard Dent. That's my answer right off the top of my head, right away. I would say Richard Dent. He was just nasty. And to have him on the same line as Akeem coming after. Maybe it's just because I really want to see what Richard Dent would do to Aaron Rodgers. I think that's honestly the reason deep down why I would want to bring him back is to see what he would do to Rodgers. Maybe break the collarbone a third time and call it a career.
Ooh.
I don't know. I'm sorry. That was low.
Family show.
Family show. Everyone in this family says the same thing. Get him out. Hurt, is it? He took my guy. To be perfectly honest, I would have said Richard Dent coming off the edge. I mean, when you talk about a pass rusher, I mean, that dip and that bend that he was able to get with his length, he was like, I don't know, like a lurch. He had such a different body type, but he was so physical. And he had such a unique understanding of how to bend and strip the football. In fact, you know, in Giant Country, LT was just tremendous. But it was very similar to the extent that Dent could take over a football game. But since he took Dent, I mean, I don't know how you can't go Mike Ditka at tight end. I mean, say what you want about the guy now, the politician, all that crap. When you pop in the tape of what a football player should be at that position, you talk about a guy that's going to freaking put somebody on their keister and get into a route and make some catches. I mean, it is tremendous to watch what type of football player that guy was and the toughness. It's the reason why he was I believe he was the first tight end ever in the Hall of Fame. Somebody could check on. I'm sure Dan the Man Aguirre out there would probably know that off the top of his head.
I think you're right.
There's a reason why he made it as a football player and a coach. And to be perfectly honest, that kind of football player at tight end to go along with the Trey Burton and teach a young Adam Shaheen how to play this game low and physical and block to the whistle, you couldn't go wrong with Coach Ditka there.
So Barflies are giving us some of their predictions as well as to who they would bring back, and Bobby's saying, yep, I would agree, and with Vic in total control, that would be Savage.
Yes.
Our next question also comes from Michael G. He says, excluding any divisional matchups, which of the first 9 games are you most looking forward to? And on the same note, what do you think will be the game that sets the tone for the remainder of the season?
I'll start out. Opening night, Bears-Packers, a new head coach, a new offense. I honestly, and I will keep saying this, I'm not going to change my prediction. The Chicago Bears are going to win opening night. I'm telling you right now. They will beat the Packers, and I believe they're going to beat them by 2 touchdowns. Like, it's going to be an explosive moment. Put it in Mike North's prediction in Vegas magazine, my buddy Uncle Mikey. I'm telling you guys, the Bears are going to come out and be aggressive. Everything the opposite of what John Fox was and Lovie Smith. You are going to see fireworks opening. Now, what better way Sunday night at Lambeau, where the Bears have had success? They've been able to beat them up there. They've gone after it. They got a defense returning, all its starters with Vic Fangio. They got an upgrade at middle linebacker to go with Danny Trevathan. Injuries are going to, you know, be important through the preseason, especially with five preseason. But I believe it's going to be electric, and the Bears are, and for the first time in a long time, I feel confident in the coaching preparedness of a football team. And that's not just me talking. That's me talking to people I respect with ears to the ground in the league, really believing what this staff is bringing to the table is special and the right combination with number 10. Mitch Trubisky is special on tape. I've had some craziness, BG, with some of these Twitter hacks talking about, and even the NFL Network. I just don't get it. I don't understand how Mahomes played one game, and all of a sudden what Mitch put on tape isn't good. It's tremendous. So I really believe that opening game is going to be special. So I'm excited, and I don't know if the Giants game fits into the nine. I'm going to go to that game, so I'm excited about it. But opening night, I believe the whole culture has changed.
Ryan, your thoughts?
Yeah, Phil, you know, that was at the forefront of my mind. So I think everybody would probably agree with you and say that that's the number one game on the schedule that's going to set the tone. And, you know, just so happens to be the first game of the season. And the Packers are celebrating their 100th season at Lambeau. So all the fans are going to be riled up. It's going to be epic when the Bears beat them. I agree with you. Completely spoil the 100th home opener for the Packers. The next, I think the easiest one to say then would be the Patriots, but I'm not going to go with the Patriots because obviously everybody would say, oh, if we beat the Patriots, then everybody would, you know, pay attention. But I think honestly, week two, right after the Packers, when we travel to Seattle, and Seattle is not the team that they were 3-4 years ago by any means. They've lost a lot of pieces. However, if they go into Seattle, which is arguably the toughest place in the NFL to play, maybe next to Arrowhead, and they beat the Seahawks again in primetime, if they can do that and start the season, my goodness, 2-0 against the Packers and the Seahawks, I think week two will really, really set the tone going forward into some relatively winnable games after that. I mean, up until the Patriots, obviously, that'll be a tough game. But I think if they can go in and beat the Seahawks, regardless of what anybody thinks about the Seahawks this year, Russell Wilson is still Russell Wilson. So he's going to be really, really tough to play against. He's always tough to play against. There's a reason why he threw for 30-plus passing touchdowns last year. And, I mean, doesn't have a whole lot of help in front of him protecting him, and the running game has always been a what if. But Russell Wilson has gotten the job done, and he, in my mind, the way I see it, he's elite. And if we can go in and beat two elite quarterbacks to start the year on the road, wow, that would really set the tone. So talk about setting the tone. That was the question. Yeah, those two games for sure will set the tone if we can pull two wins out right away.
So Barflies are in agreement with you that Green Bay would be their prime pick for that question, as well as fans saying the Patriots, the Seahawks, as well as the Vikings.
There you go.
Our last question comes to us from Dustin Reagan Padilla. So he quote tweeted something from Bill Zimmerman at Zimmerman SXM, and I will read it to you. And he says, thoughts on Deion Bush's improvement in camp and why people continue to discredit Adrian Amos. So Bill had this to say, that's a player replace at a replaceable position. The Bears are pushing Deion Bush this offseason to see if they can plug him in and let Amos walk. I would be shocked if they extended.
Oh, my God.
And if 11 Amoses make the defense the best in the league, then they absolutely should.
Oh, my God. I don't even know
where to begin with that.
Well, I think you begin
with... I saved the best for last, guys. Come on.
Sounds like a song. this dude, I've seen a few subjective opinions come from this guy. So I just, like Ryan's saying, it's hard to even fathom. Here's somebody who's put everything on tape, including the enforcer's attitude, the intimidating factors for opposing teams. To bring that kind of energy level to a defense, I don't think the stat boys and the stat scouts even have a comprehension of what somebody who is aggressive and attacks downhill with that kind of force does to the mentality of an opposing player. And making a football player think is probably the most damning thing you could do to somebody. If you start getting in their head, not only physically, but, you know, some of these, that's why you talk and get them out of their games, because it starts to make people think. And when you're thinking, you're not moving quickly. You're not doing things naturally. And this guy's energy and effort, and I'm talking about Amos, is an intimidating force, and he's physical, and he's in the right place. And all I see is an ascending football player. These, again, trying to run people out of town when you've had a cycle of safeties coming through Chicago. You finally get someone here, and he's getting praised not only by PFF, but by scouts that are, and coaches that are dealing with him. And they're trying to run Deion Bush out there. Now, Deion Bush, 6'2", 215, 20 pounds now, whatever he is, you know, fourth round pick. Let's see what he has. But he's shown absolutely nothing. In fact, there was a moment in a Packer game, the game where Josh Bellamy drops. It was Matt Barkley throwing for like three bills on the Packers, for God's sake. Oh. That Deion Bush could have turned the tides of the whole game. Instead, he drops an easy interception. I mean, it wasn't – all he had to do was jump. Again, still, he drops the ball right through his hands. And the very next play, he had the interception. It would have been a turnover. We know the value of that, Ryan, in the end zone. Instead, he drops it. Next play, Jordy Nelson catches a touchdown. All of a sudden, the Packers are up. And momentum swings. So again, being in the right place, setting the tone, being an intimidator, those things aren't going to be on Nerd Boy's stat. You know, it's not going to be on the Sun Times story of positivity. They're not going to go there. But for me on the tape, I'm seeing a Dallas Cowboy receiver peek, where's Amos, and drop a football. And stall a drive. That kind of stuff goes unnoticed to a guy just focused on stats and not to guys that understand the game of football and the importance of that kind of player as well as position.
So our producer is reminding me that he forgot the buzzer that we had set up for tonight's show. And I have... Yeah, it's just a comedy of errors here live on Bears Hour, live and a half. So we got two write-in questions from our chat room. Jose Oso54 is in the house, and he says, Phil, will Trubisky throw 4,000 yards, over 30 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions? Better late than never.
I'm Jack Bauer. Jack Bauer believes Mitch Trubisky could be Jack Bauer. That's the number I'm looking at. I'm looking at the 4,000 yards in this kind of aggressive offensive philosophy, a lot of screen game, a lot of easy throws, and then critical deep balls. I've always coached you got to take deep shots in games at least twice in a quarter. You got to set the tone and let those corners think. I think this is the coach that you're going to see that happen. There's not going to be conservative. Let's play to not lose. There's going to be let's play to win. And I think Mitch Trubisky's accuracy as well as the offensive philosophy are going to be akin to those numbers. 4,000 how many touchdowns? 30 touchdown club?
Yeah, 30.
That would be a record for the Bears, I believe, in touchdown passes. And I'm looking for that, to be perfectly honest. I think it's going to be in that range of 28, 30 touchdowns, and I believe he's going to be under 13 interceptions.
Ryan, you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I honestly don't see why he can't do that. And you look at last year, he had, I believe it was around PFF had him like 107, 108 deep passer rating. Obviously, he didn't throw as many as other quarterbacks, but he was one of the better quarterbacks when it came to throwing the deep ball. Here we go. Found it. Yes. So Alex Smith had 131.4 passer rating on deep passes. Trubisky had 108.1. And we all know who he was throwing to last year when he was throwing down the field, and it wasn't pretty. So you're looking at this upcoming season, and you've got a guy like Taylor Gabriel, obviously, is the first one that jumps off the board with just sheer speed, who can get down the field in a hurry. But then you look at Allen Robinson. He's always historically been great at going down the sideline and going up for those jump balls. So, first of all, Alex Smith had one guy last year who could go catch deep balls, Tyreek Hill. And Tyreek Hill had, I mean, an absurd, I want to say like 10 of his touchdowns in his career are over 35 yards. And he's a deep threat. That's what he does. And Alex Smith used him. So looking at what the Bears had going into this year, they've got deep threat in Taylor Gabriel. They've also got another guy who can stretch the field and who's faster than I think people really realize in Allen Robinson. So you've got two guys that can go down the field and go up and get those deep balls. So the yards and the touchdowns, I think, are going to come. But what Alex Smith didn't have, and I'm not knocking Kareem Hunt because he was great, but Trubisky has two dynamic running backs that couldn't be more opposite in what they're really, really good at doing. And I think Nagy's going to be smart enough to use them. So you've got two backs that you can lean on and do some creative things with that's going to set up the play action, that's going to set up those rollouts that I don't see how it's unrealistic. You know, there's people out there that would laugh at you if you were to say Trubisky's going to throw for 4,030. I'm not laughing. I don't think any of us here are laughing, because you look at the weapons he's got. He's got, you know, one of the better interior offensive lines. The tackles are no slouches. He's got it. Everything's set up. This offseason has been about Mitchell Trubisky. He's got it set up so that he can go out in year two, and sure, why not? Why couldn't he throw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns? He's got a lot at his disposal. And
I put up one play, Ryan, and I said to Shane and Aldo and BG, and I think Lil Nicky is in that group, where all Mitch does is third down, it's a fake boot, he waggles the tight end down block. We've all seen this play. He sneaks out into the flat, the others receiver runs through the seam and runs off the safety and runs a flag, and the corner has to decide. He puts him on, and there's Clay Matthews running after, and all the linebackers in Green Bay going after the guy that, you know, gets the ball in the box, 9 in the box, 8 in the box, and dumps it off to Shaheen, who, if Inman had made a block, like just a half block, Shaheen's running for the 6, because that's how fast he is at 6'7", 265. I mean, I don't get how they use personnel. I don't get how they made play calls. But I really am sure you're going to see fake to Jordan on a outside zone and pull it and have a big tight end running out in the flat and one dragging in the backside of it. To me, it's without a doubt, like, I'm so confident in it that I can put my name to it. Like, these guys on Twitter that talk all this garbage or whatever and delete their own tweets, all you got to do is go on my show. I say whatever, pull the audio, because I stand by what I say. And this offense, those numbers can be achieved if you're using the personnel that we knew was appropriate. I mean, you're laughing at Josh Bellamy was a key ingredient in the Box Dowell Loggins offense. To me, it's unbelievable, but it happened. And Shaheen, for some reason, sat on the bench. And Tariq Cohen, God forbid you keep him in on third. We got to bring in Benny Cunningham. And not that Benny's a slouch, but it's like, do you drive the convertible Corvette or you bringing out the Toyota Corolla? I mean, that kind of stuff to me is just ridiculous. It baffles my mind. So for me, I'm running out with the Corvette and Tariq Cohen on third down and Shaheen being a mismatch on a safety and Allen Robinson and a guy we haven't even talked, Trey Burton. All these athletes coming in where you didn't have any and you have this kind of athlete who's athletic at quarterback, the numbers are going to be – someone's going to steal Mitch in the 10th round of their fantasy draft as a backup or 14th round or whatever it is, and they're going to be like, hi, I won the fantasy league. Yeah, aggressive coaching matters.
So our last question is also a writing question from Michael G. in the chat room, and he says, who do you guys think will lead in targets in the first two games?
Just the first two games, huh?
As long as it's not Mike Burton.
Just the first two games.
No one wrote in, is Mike Burton going to make the final 53?
I was just going to say, Phil, come on, man. You got to be speaking in faith. Burton's not even going to make the roster.
Exactly. I hope. I have nightmares that he makes it. And I'm like, how does this guy, what tape does he have of McCaskey? Seriously. Hey, go ahead, Ryan. You answer first. Or do you want me to answer first?
All right. No, I'll take it. I will say unequivocally, I'm going to go with Anthony Miller. And
wow.
I think he's going to lead. I think he's going to lead the team in targets the first two games. And one of my bold predictions for this year is that he leads the team in targets for the entire season, which might seem a little crazy. But looking at how Trubisky really fell in love with and utilized Kendall Wright last year in the slot, I see for a young quarterback to have that, you know, almost a security blanket just hanging out there, getting open over the middle. Anthony Miller last year, one of the stats that stood out to me, had a quarterback rating of 149.6 when targeting Miller in the slot. So first of all, that tells me that the kid gets open. And second of all, he makes the catch. He catches the football. And I can't say enough about Anthony Miller. I love the pick. He's one of my favorite wideouts in all of the drafts because of how he plays the football game. He's a guy that goes out there and he wants you to know whether you're, an all pro or whether you're a practice squad guy. He wants you to know right away that he's the best player on the field, period. And that's how he plays the game. And I love that. And I think if he continues to have a good offseason, has a good camp, and he, you know, starts in the slot as we think he might, I think he could come out and lead the team in targets. I really wouldn't be shocked.
Well, I think Trey Busy right now is becoming a Ryan Heckman fan because I think Trey's ready to say he agrees with that. I don't know if he's in the chat room. He might be.
He's not tonight.
Oh, he might be plumbing issues or something. But I know he's been tooting that horn to me as well privately. So for me, I got to answer this. I look at Trey Burton, and I really believe, you know, Shane's probably pissed that I'm stealing this, but I really believe he is going to light up mismatches. And I believe Matt Nagy understands what I preach, and that's scouting and doing your homework to create mismatches. If that means trading, and what that is lining up in a formation, then moving out of that formation, not motioning, just separating everybody to get your athlete in a mismatch one-on-one. And I believe Trey Burton is going to create that kind of mismatch on a linebacker that or a strong safety that's forced one-on-one in coverage with him, and he gets it. He's explosive. He's somebody I believe that's going to get a lot of targets and be that important. I think they've made an emphasis to tell you half of Chicago knows what a U tight end is now. Prior to that, they thought a U tight end was a ship that was in Lake Michigan waiting to go on tour. Now they know. So I believe, you know, Trey Burton's going to be that big target, fantasy football target for the Bears. You could bank on that.
So we are back on Thursday, folks, with a brand new 100 proof. And if you haven't already seen it on Twitter, we've got a very special guest with us. David Kaplan will be joining the crew after 3 months of negotiations. We are pleased to say he is going to appear to defend his thoughts on the Bears and Jordan Howard. So you don't want to miss that. And I have to give Ryan his pay after this, because while you wait for that show, head over to bearsbarroom.com to read a brand new article by the Tooch and Barelissimo on Anthony Miller. That will be up on Tuesday. We've got other exciting initiatives we're working on launching in July, so go vote on our hashtag BBR swag polls to let us know what your thoughts are on what we should carry in our brand new Bears Barroom swag shop. Phil, final thoughts before I wrap this show up.
I want to thank Ryan for coming on and being such a devoted dad and person. There's a lot of great follows out there. 90% of them don't need a blue check mark to understand this great game of football. And to be perfectly honest, Ryan, you know, God bless you and your daughter. I hope everything goes well tomorrow. And I appreciate you coming on the show tonight and talking Bears and giving. I know there's 1,000 people that are going to be listening to this on the podcast stream tomorrow that are wanting their Bears fix. True Gaines, well, my boy Gaines is going to be listening in.
He's in the chat tonight.
Oh, he's in the chat. Shout out to him. He wanted his fix early. Look at this guy. So, Ryan, give him a follow. Go read their stuff over there too. Bears Bar Room is all about the truth. I speak the truth, and this guy is a great dude. He's always reached out his hand and supported Bears Bar Room as well as the Barflies. To me, that just says the kind of person you are. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I see that happening, but not with a guy like you, Ryan. You're just a class act, and there's no games there. So I appreciate you coming on tonight with us.
Echoing Phil's comments, we thank you, Ryan, for being with us. We send you and your family our love, thoughts, and prayers for your little girl's surgery tomorrow. We want to wish her a very speedy recovery, and please let us know how she is doing. Let our Barflies know where they can find you.
Hey, yeah. On Twitter, you can find me at Ryan Heckman FF. And our work can be found at dawindycity.com on all things Chicago sports. So, thank you guys very much for having me on. I appreciate the love and the support. As always, Phil, always support you, man. You're one of the smartest minds in the game. Everybody out there listening, don't take this guy for granted. He knows his stuff.
Oh, I appreciate it. You don't have to worry. No one listening to this is taking me for granted, right? Only Bears girl, right?
We couldn't have a nice wrap up to this. No, that wouldn't be Bears Barroom Radio Network.
I have to give him a laugh. Think about what he's going through. In all seriousness, I just can't say enough about it. You know, Father's Day, we didn't plan it like this, but it really is something to say as a dad, worrying about your child, but also come on and talk Bears. I believe it was therapeutic for you, but I don't think anybody will miss the fact that this is heavy for you. And truly, a lot of people say, my prayers are up for you, my prayer. But I really mean, I know Bears Girl does too. And I know the kind of listeners that we have, really, to see the kind of compassion behind the scenes is amazing of what Barflies bring to the table. So that being said, zip up Bears Barroom hoodie for Draft Dr. Phil. That's my vote. I'm a big fan of the zip up hoodies.
In orange, we got it. No problem.
In navy blue. I would never lie ever about that. I'm like, damn it! I hit orange!
Here's the best part, Phil. We have no idea what you voted. We have no idea who voted for what. So you could have just said blue. We wouldn't have known.
It's a good comment for the vote.
It's great, and I know it matches your orange pants. So thank you to our Barflies, keeping our chat room alive tonight. We love interacting with you each and every show. That wraps up this edition of Bears Hour Live and a Half. And guess what? We're going to see you all in July. Good night.
We're taking a break again.
We are.
James is going to be pissed.
I know. 3 weeks without Bears Hour Live. What are they going to do?
I don't know. What are they going to do? Yes, he laughed the hardest at that joke. What the hell?
I think he's trying to send us a message.